This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, I'm so excited to be here. Are you ready to start the work week, Chris? Put a smile on your face because we have a great show tonight. Where we're going? Oh, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. But here's what we're going to talk about for sure. Medal of Honor Mondays coming up 1 hour from now, where we honor an American hero. We're going to discuss not being able to escape the path you've started down. This is going to be about everything from communism to Democrat politics to Hollywood to all these things. We're about to discuss the salesmanship right now of what Obama's doing versus what Chuck Schumer's doing versus what Hillary's doing versus what the judges are doing. We're about to talk about a lot of their tactics and techniques. We'll pay Marco Rubio a compliment. I'll tell you why making fun of AOC is fun and encouraged, but we shouldn't miss the mark. All that, emails, so much more, including a criticism of barbershops to come tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's talk about something. Let's talk about militaries, if you will. I told you that there is a new history, I guess, should we call it a series? It feels kind of gross talking, calling it a series, but I guess that's what we ought to call it. I have a new history series coming for you at some point. It's going to be on Napoleon's disastrous military campaign into Russia. It's not coming tomorrow, and it's not coming this week. It is a large, complicated subject, and I'm digging into it right now. But either way, let's set that aside. I am a huge nerd when it comes to history stuff, as you know. And I was digging in this weekend to the makeup of the army, the Grand Army, as it was known. Now, none of this is super important to you, but stay with me. One of the things that just, it always fascinates me, of modern armies, of ancient armies, is how many different parts there are to it versus how many parts you and I picture in our minds. If you picture a Napoleonic era army, you know, that's 1812, basically. You what? Of course you picture some cannon guys. Well, obviously, there's going to be guys manning the cannons. There's some riflemen, infantry types, probably lots of them lined up. You have all that. You're not an idiot. Of course, there are going to be some cavalry guys on horseback. Is that not the army you picture? I'll tell you what, it's most definitely my army I picture. That's just the tip of a very long spear. Just the tip. They had an entire corps made up. All they did was logistics. And I'll go over all this again in the show. You don't have to memorize any of this stuff. But when we get to the history series, I'll go over it all again. But it basically, an entire army, what they did was set up a place for the troops to sleep and eat at the end of every single night. Huge, huge amount of people dedicated to the horses, finding horses, feeding horses, caring for the horses. Hey, who's going to go out and scavenge? Who's going to go provide intelligence? There are so many different parts to an army out there on campaign. And oftentimes, they don't look anything like each other at all. For instance, for the purpose of our conversation, let's focus on this aspect to it. The Napoleonic army, as it marched through an area, it had guys dedicated to going out and getting food and wine and blankets and things like that for the troops. They were going to go out and buy it. And you walk into a shop back then and you say, hey, we're an army marching through. I need all these blankets. I need all that corn. I need all that this. I need all that that. And here is a chit. Here's an IOU. You can cash that in and we will pay you back for it. And believe it or not, Napoleon did it. Honored it. Now, they could have just gone in and taken everything, but nope, he honored it. Oh, but there was also a unit that went out to just steal things. Sounds like they're at odds, right? It's totally different. That's a different thing. Yeah, but armies have to use different people for different roles, and they have to use different tactics, sometimes tactics that sound at odds with each other. When you want to understand why sometimes you see differences in how one communist speaks about a subject versus how another communist speaks about a subject, you must understand they see themselves as an army, a revolutionary army on a mission. And as an army, there are going to be guys who have to care for the horses, and there are going to be guys who are in the infantry, and there are going to be guys who are dedicated to looting and stealing, and there are going to be guys who are dedicated to paying people. But the main thing you have to remember is the overarching goal is the communist revolution. Would you like to know an example of what I'm talking about? Well, here's a great one. Headline, Boasberg. That would be that judge who opposes everything Trump does, orders Trump to bring back all illegal aliens he's deported to El Salvador. The one judge stepped up and said, no, everyone you sent away, bring them back. Okay. Well, that's weird. Hillary Clinton went to some big fancy international conference. She said this.
There is a legitimate reason to have a debate about things like migration. It went too far. It's been disruptive and destabilizing, and it needs to be fixed in a humane way with secure borders that don't torture and kill people.
Wow. Is the Democrat Party waking up? Are they coming around to the fact that foreigners, illegals and legals en masse coming into the country, it's bad for the country? Would she say destabilizing, harmful to you, your community, your healthcare, your school, your job prospects, your wages, your everything else? Are they waking up to that fact? Are they coming around on immigration? Obama himself. Obama's doing the podcast circuit right now because he can't ever just leave into obscurity. He has to be there forever. Obama sat down. He talked about this. Man, I didn't agree with everything he said, but boy, does he sound reasonable.
But what is also true is that we're a nation of laws, we have borders, and we've got to figure out an immigration policy that is orderly and that is fair and is enforced in a sensible way that is compatible with our values, but may not fully capture the degree to which that kid should have the same chances in life as a U.S. citizen kid, but, you know, we've got to accommodate the reality that the majority of the American people think that there's a difference between somebody who's a U.S. citizen and somebody who's not, and that they want an orderly immigration system.
Man, that's obviously not as hardcore right-wing as I am, as maybe you are, but that sounds so reasonable. I think the Democrat Party's really changing. But then we come back to this headline, Boasberg orders Trump to bring back all illegals he's deported to El Salvador. Then we come back to every single communist operation going on, to handing ice out pins to celebrities at the Grammys, to funding communist street animal protests in Minneapolis. And it's almost weird. It almost seems like they're saying two different things, right? On one hand, you can find a laundry list of Democrats, street animals, and elite animals who will scream until scream to the high skies that every person should be allowed to come here. It's all stolen land anyway. Don't ever deport anybody. But gosh, then these other prominent people, they're stepping up. And they're sounding a lot more reasonable.
There is a legitimate reason to have a debate about things like migration. It went too far. It's been disruptive and destabilizing. And it needs to be fixed in a humane way with secure borders that don't torture and kill people.
This is all a tactic. This is all something they've done over and over and over and over again throughout history. And what we always have to keep in mind, what I have to keep in mind and you have to keep in mind is this. The goal itself never changes. The goal of total destruction of Western civilization never changes. They never take their eye off the ball. That is always where they're marching. The only thing that changes, and the reason this guy might say one thing and this guy does another thing and this lady says another thing, is they're selling different things to different people. And bad things have been rejected by some, but not all. We'll talk about those two aspects to it in just a moment. Before we talk about those things, let's talk about protecting yourself, because our country is full of savages. You hear this story?
Arresting an ex-convict with a lengthy criminal history, suspected of shooting and killing a USA figure skating coach while she was waiting in a drive-thru.
The police say
there are savages all over our country because Democrats let them in and they let them out of jail on purpose. And now they could get you today unless you take ownership of your personal protection. That's what Byrna is about. It's about you having a plan, not hoping for the best. Hope is not a plan. What is your plan if you run into a violent man? You're just going to, what, yell? Pull out your phone and try to call the cops? Or are you going to pull out a Byrna compact launcher and shoot him in the chest and run away laughing while he's laying there crying and you survive? Go. Don't wait anymore. Go. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Why? Why are we seeing such different talking points from Democrats, where so much of the party, they're all in, open borders, never deport anybody, amnesty for all in all the time, and yet you have the Obamas, you have the Hillary Clintons, almost all at once, seemingly all at once, coming out saying, oh, maybe reasonable, we do need borders, let's be reasonable, let's be deep. Well, here's the deal. There's two different things happening here. The first thing is this. And we've discussed this for when it comes to other issues before, but it always is in play. Remember that. In politics, if you think about politics as if there are two different people standing for election, right? And they have 1,000 people standing in the room. And these 1,000 people, those are the 1,000 voters. So what do you want? If you're a politician and you want the power, you need 501 votes. And it really doesn't matter if you get 502, if you get 900, 501 votes is what matters. You don't want to be the one with 499, right? So what you need to do, what you need to produce is you need to produce enough audio material to convince the person who's thinking about voting for you that maybe you're the most palatable option. and the Democrat voting base, so much of it, they're simply demonic savages who want to destroy the country. And that's where the AOCs of the world come in. Never deport anybody. Bring in every rapist. I don't care if he massacres your daughter and your entire family on the highway. Whatever. America sucks anyway. There's a voting public for that. But it's not all of them. You're not getting 501 votes out of that. So you need guy who doesn't like Republicans, but a guy who's weirded out by Democrats. You need that guy. You need to give his conscience permission to come on board. That's what you need. Do you remember? Hey, Chris, grab this if you wouldn't mind. It's from last week. Oh, wait a minute. I actually don't even know if we pulled it. I think we just talked about it. Don't even look. You can find it if you want. There's a poll that came out that they pulled Democrats. They pulled just Democrats, and I believe the number was 60%, might have been 58%. A majority of Democrats thought the Democrat Party had gotten, I believe the polling question was, too liberal. A majority of voting Democrats thought the Democrat Party had gotten too liberal. Now, let me ask you something. Oh, you already have it, Chris? Go ahead, play it.
About the Democratic base, right? But what about all Americans, right? How about all voters? Voters who say the Democrats are now too liberal. Look at this percentage. It was 42% in 96, 48% in 2013. Now 58% in 2025 of all voters say that the Democratic Party is too liberal. The Democrats are moving to the left. The far left is gaining power.
Stop. Apparently, I totally said that wrong. It's all voters. It's not just a Democrat poll. Okay, so 58% of the country, that's a large percentage, says Democrats are too liberal. Now that, Chris confirmed this for me, that was last week, right? That came out? Yep, last week. So last week, we get a poll that shows 58% of 58% of the country thinks Democrats are too liberal. Almost overnight, we have the former president of the United States of America sitting down on a podcast saying this.
But what is also true is that we're a nation of laws, we have borders, and we've got to figure out an immigration policy that is orderly and that is fair and is enforced in a sensible way that is compatible with our values, but may not fully capture the degree to which that kid should have the same chances in life as a U.S. citizen kid. But, you know, we've got to accommodate the reality that the majority of the American people think that there's a difference between somebody who's a U.S. citizen and somebody who's not.
Now, I want you to listen to that one more time. I know you don't like his voice, neither do I, but I want you to listen like this. Understand that Barack Obama is by a mile the sharpest Democrat in recent memory when it comes to messaging. He's evil. He hates the country. I despise him. Don't think I'm a fan. Set that aside. That's your emotions or my emotions. When it comes to messaging to normie American, Barack Obama is the best at selling communism. You know, Jasmine Crockett ain't selling anything to normie American. People be texting. That's not selling anything to normal American. Barack Obama won two elections because he could sell it to normie American. And he gives away the game at the end of what he's saying here. And the game is this. Barack Obama, the smartest one, has seen the poll numbers. And Barack Obama knows the Democrat Party has to be open borders, has to bring in the foreign barbarians, but they definitely can't say that.
But what is also true is that we're a nation of laws, we have borders, and we've got to figure out an immigration policy that is orderly and that is fair and is enforced in a sensible way that is compatible with our values, but may not fully capture the degree to which that kid should have the same chances in life as a U.S. citizen kid. But, you know, we've got to accommodate the reality that the majority of the American people think that there's a difference between somebody who's a U.S. citizen and somebody who's not, and that they want an orderly immigration system.
That's the one who's smart enough to read the polls. That's the one who's teaching the next group of Democrats how to talk about the issue. Now, I said there were two things at play. That was one. Talk about the second next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to how trapped they are in their own ideology in just a moment. But I mentioned there are two different things going on. Why are Democrats, some of them, the most prominent, the smartest ones, saying, well, we kind of have to have a better border policy? I mean, I guess we can deport some people as long as we do it humanely. But the other Democrats, certainly the judges, the ones on the ground, the funding organizations, they're fighting tooth and nail to keep everybody here. Well, I mentioned they have different roles to play. The judges, like Boasberg, he is there in a very secure place because he's a judge. He is there to fight like a warrior on behalf of the revolution. And Judge Boasberg doesn't care how much you hate him or I hate him, because he is politically untouchable. Certainly untouchable until we get a GOP with the guts to remove him, which I think you and I both know is not exactly around the corner. Barack Obama is a man who understands how to win elections. Barack Obama has a different role to play. Barack Obama has to sell open borders to the normies. Now, I said there was another thing happening, and here's that. Marco Rubio gave a speech in Munich. It's in a different country, Chris. You wouldn't know it. He gave a speech in Munich. And Marco Rubio said something. He said a lot of things. He did very well, by the way. Marco Rubio said something, and it was very popular. He said this.
For five centuries before the end of the Second World War, the West had been expanding. Its missionaries, its pilgrims, its soldiers, its explorers pouring out from its shores to cross oceans.
By the way, this is very long. I might even let it play because it's good. It's so long, but it's good. In fact, I'm going to let him start again. This is very long. I'd say sorry, but I'm not.
For five centuries before the end of the Second World War, the West had been expanding. Its missionaries, its pilgrims, its soldiers, its explorers pouring out from its shores to cross oceans, settle new continents, build vast empires extending out across the globe. But in 1945, for the first time since the age of Columbus, it was contracting. Europe was in ruins. Half of it lived behind an iron curtain, and the rest looked like it would soon follow. The great Western empires had entered into terminal decline, accelerated by godless communist revolutions and by anti-colonial uprisings that would transform the world and drape the red hammer and sickle across vast swaths of the map in the years to come. Against that backdrop, then, as now, many came to believe that the West's age of dominance had come to an end.
By the way, he goes on for another minute. Sorry, I am interrupting him. Remember that hammer and sickle line. Remember it, okay? That's going to be important for our discussion.
And that our future was destined to be a faint and feeble echo of our past. But together, our predecessors recognized that decline was a choice, and it was a choice they refused to make. This is what we did together once before, and this is what President Trump and the United States want to do again now, together with you. And this is why we do not want our allies to be weak, because that makes us weaker. We want allies who can defend themselves so that no adversary will ever be tempted to test our collective strength. This is why we do not want our allies to be shackled by guilt and shame. We want allies who are proud of their culture and of their heritage, who understand that we are heirs to the same great and noble civilization, and who together with us are willing and able to defend it.
Now, that was not only wonderfully done, wonderfully said. I don't know if he wrote that himself. He may have. He does write a lot of his own speeches from what I understand, but that was more than wonderfully done and wonderfully said. That was an acknowledgement that we are still fighting against communism. Why is that important? What does that have to do with what Obama's saying or all these other people are saying? One of the communists' greatest strength in the United States of America in recent years has been the fact that the right is too weak, naive, and pathetic to call communism what it is. We didn't want to seem divisive. We didn't want to fight like they fight. We didn't want to do, instead of just coming out and acknowledging that American liberalism, progressivism is just communism repackaged, instead of coming out and acknowledging that fact, we wanted to dance around it. They're just misguided. They don't know what they're doing. The right used to love that. Still some morons on the right still do. They don't understand what they're doing. Yes, they do, idiot. You don't understand what is at stake. They do understand what is at stake. And Marco Rubio standing in front of the world, because that was leaders from all around Western civilization, and essentially laying out that we are to stand against the hammer and sickle of communism. What this is doing is it is exposing the globalist communists in the Democrat Party and some Republicans who have a plan to destroy this country and bring it to heel. Marco Rubio, Donald Trump has helped do this. J.D. Vance has helped do this. None of these guys are alone. They're all getting the America First movement rolling, if you will, by speaking boldly and clearly. They have made the communists on the left, I want to say afraid, but that's not necessarily the word I'm looking for. It made them raise their eyebrows and say to themselves, they're catching on. We are going to have to adjust how we message things now. The American people think we've gone too far left. The people on the right are now slowly but surely being willing to call us out for our evil, call us out for our communism. We just got exposed. And it's not like it happened in just this one speech. It's been happening. We are getting exposed as being the anti-American demonic savages that we are. Therefore, we are going to have to make adjustments. This cannot lead the party.
People be sexing.
You instead have to go back to the guy who won two elections by convincing every stupid normie in America that he was somehow reasonable.
But what is also true is that we're a nation of laws, we have borders, and we've got to figure out an immigration policy that is orderly and that is fair and is enforced in a sensible way that is compatible with our values, but may not fully capture the degree to which that kid should have the same chances in life as a U.S. citizen kid. But, you know, we've got to accommodate the reality that the majority of the American people think that there's a difference between somebody who's a U.S. citizen and somebody who's not, and that they want an orderly immigration system.
Don't ever think that there's an inch of daylight between what Barack Obama wants and what AOC wants, or what Jasmine Crockett wants, or what Bernie Sanders wants, or what Chairman Mao wanted. There's not an inch of daylight between any of it. But what it is Barack Obama understands, has always understood, how do I sell it? He knows he still has warriors in place like Judge Boasberg. He knows that. His ultimate goal is always selling it. And the smarter Democrats in the country will understand slowly but surely as we march forward You can't sound like AOC and win elections outside of the Bronx. They see Americans turning against them. They see the census numbers, and they're going to try to regroup. The goal will never change, but they're going to try to regroup. All right, let's do a couple emails next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday, only 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. I'm excited about this one. I am so itchy. You may notice this if you're watching, but I got a fresh haircut and a shave. I do that every... Why are you making that face, Chris? Don't say what hair, okay? You still have to style it in a certain way. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I get a fresh haircut and a shave on the way to work. I do this on Mondays every few weeks. Yeah, I'm not made of money, but every few weeks, Ob keeps trying to tell me, you need to do it every week. I'm not doing it every week. Do you have any idea what that would cost? Anyway, every few weeks, fresh cut, fresh shave. I get one today on the way to work. I have hair on me. Now, they put the thing, that piece of paper around my neck, and just like they put it on your neck, and then they do the shave thing and everything else to make sure everything is looking pretty top-notch, if I may say. But it doesn't matter how hard you work at that. You end up getting hair down your neck. And do you know why you end up getting hair down your neck? Which, of course, then goes all the way down your shirt. And now it's actually my lower back is itching right now. I have lower back itches and my shoulders are itching. And you know why? It's because when they're done, even though they shampoo and everything else, before you get to the shampooer, and they all do this, they pull out what? They pull out the hair dryer, the blow dryer, and they just blow everything off of you. Well, that doesn't remove all the tiny hairs that may have gathered around my collar or on my neck. In fact, you could argue that increases the number of tiny hairs that are around my neck. You are inevitably, that's easy for me to say, shut up, Chris. You are inevitably going to blow more hairs into the cracks and crevices in between my collar and my neck. And that will, as I walk around and move around, that will result in the hairs going down my shirt. Now I'm sitting here in itching agony. Why don't they suck it off? It could be a shop vac. It could be a regular run-of-the-mill vacuum. A vacuum, it can't be a noise thing. A vacuum makes the exact same sound the freaking air dryer makes. Why don't you suck it off? It makes no sense to blow it around, and you have less cleanup afterwards. You know, they have to come in and they have to sweep up all the hair and stuff like that. Why did it become a thing to blow it instead of suck it? Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Even Jewish producer Chris agrees with me. I just don't understand. Again, it's not like I'm trying to cost anybody money. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. But if you go, like if you had some kind of a vacuum attachment, you wouldn't even need that though. Just the regular tube, whatever. Suck it off. If you suck it off, then the hair doesn't go down my collar, and then I can be free. Instead, I have to shower when I get home. That's going to make it a double shower day. And I'm a shower man. I don't want to shower when I get home. I don't want to be itchy all day at work. I am here. What, Chris? What? Chris asked, does my shirt hold on to the hair after a wash? Sometimes. Now, that's not common. But sometimes it does it even worse for me because they do my beard. That is something Ob talked me into. Every few weeks, it's not all the time, I do it myself, but every few weeks I get it kind of professionally trimmed up. She's always like, you're on camera, you have to get them. Anyway, but yes, the beard hair is even worse than the hair. And every now and then you'll put on a shirt a week later and you're all, oh, it's itching me. What is going on? But it wouldn't be a problem if the barber would suck it off. Why are you blowing it everywhere? I don't understand. Hey, Jesse, this one is about economics. I understand many people don't yet feel relief from Sleepy Joe's economic travesty he forced on us. I wish people were more aware of recent history. This guy says he's 78 years old, and he goes on to talk about Jimmy Carter's presidency and how long it took Ronald Reagan to bring things back. He essentially is saying, by the way, it was a really good email. His name's Mario. He was saying, look, Trump's policies need time for people who are upset that the economy hasn't come roaring back in the way they want. They need to give it more time. And you know what? I don't disagree with that necessarily at all. I don't have any problem with what you just emailed at all. My problem, I ranted about this last week in case you weren't here. My problem is not that the economy hasn't come roaring back yet. Donald Trump can't work a miracle. Turning around an economy after Joe Biden took 4 years destroying it, turning around an economy was never going to be a one-year thing. You can't do that, especially when you can't pass laws in Congress. I'm not saying that. I am not, absolutely not, I need to stress this, I am not blaming the Trump administration for the fact the economy has not come roaring back for Americans. I'm not blaming them for that at all. I'm a reasonable person. I am blaming them for the messaging. And look, we'll come back to it again. We'll come back to Obama. What Obama is selling here is a wide open border, flooding the country with rapists and drug dealers and murderers so Democrats win elections forever. But listen to how he sells it.
But what is also true is that we're a nation of laws, we have borders, and we've got to figure out an immigration policy that is orderly and that is fair and is enforced in a sensible way that is compatible with our values but may not fully capture the degree to which that kid should have the same chances in life as a U.S. citizen kid. But, you know, we've got to accommodate the reality that the majority of the American people think that there's a difference between somebody who's a U.S. citizen and somebody who's not.
Now, that's selling an evil plan well. My point is how the Trump administration has sold an economy that has not come back yet. Yelling at everybody that the economy's great, it's never been better, and you should say it's great, is a bad sell. That's my point. Medal of Honor Monday, next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.